And Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy 1, 19. And I will read this verse when you find it. Let me just say this before I read it. Deuteronomy, as you know, is kind of a recap of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And then so Israel has left Egypt. They're going into Canaan land. And as they go into Canaan land, Moses is telling about all of the things they had been through, going back and kind of retelling the story. So Deuteronomy is that. It's like a flashback or a recap. So here's the verse I want us to look at tonight, Deuteronomy 1:19. The Bible says, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye say by the way of the which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea." Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. And help me, Lord, to preach the message you've laid on my heart. Open our minds, our ears, our hearts to hear from you. Lord, I pray you'd feed your flock. And Lord, I think I mentioned this last night, but I'd like to ask you again, Lord, may every one of us leave here tonight closer to you, changed, more ready to serve you than we ever have before. In Jesus' name, amen. So they came to Kadesh Barnea, and so he's referring back to that time, and what he's referring to is the moment they got getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And when they got ready to cross over into the promised land, God told them, we'll read the next couple verses here in verse 20, "And I said unto you, ye are come into the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." So they're at Kadesh Barnea, and they're kind of at a crossroads, or more of a stepping stone into some bigger thing that God has for them. And we in our Christian lives as saved people, we have those places in our life. If you've been saved more than 2 or 3 years, you can look back and you can see things that God's done in your life that have made permanent changes, that have literally changed the direction of your entire life. And, you know, these are different things. And like one of them could be, I know when after I was saved, I wasn't a tither. And I came to the tithing Kadesh Barnea. And God spoke to my heart about that. And I saw it in the Bible. And then I had a decision to make. And really, it's really about, are you going to go on for God into another, I won't say the next level or something like that. Another would be, for many Christians, I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about us. Okay, I'm talking about us. Many of us don't read our Bibles every day. We'll read it at church, and you know, we're listening, and we may pull out and look at a psalm every once in a while, or check out a couple verses of Proverbs. But many saved people in good churches like this, the Bible's not part of their life every single day of their life. Amen. That was me. And I remember distinctly a time when God spoke to my heart about that. You need to be in my word every day. Some of you can remember that. And if you'll look back at that, that was a Kadesh Barnea for you. And you had to make a decision, is this going to be part of my life or not? Amen. And a lot of Christians do it. And you've got to make some changes for that to happen because you have a full day. When are you going to take aside 15 minutes or 20 or 30 to get in God's word and do nothing but read God's word during that time? Or a real prayer time where you really fellowship with God for half an hour or 15 minutes or an hour or something like that. These are Kadesh Barneas in our lives. And we have to make a decision if we're going to do that or not. Another one could be just being, you know, one could be a call in your life to the mission field, or to preach. Amen. Or to go to Bible college, or to get in the choir. I mean, there's just God's work in our lives is not stationary. He wants us to move. Amen. Move along and ultimately to be conformed to the image of His Son. But He's got more things for us to do down the road. And so as we look back at our lives, there's probably not more than 10 or 15 major, major turning points. Another may be memorizing the Word of God. Really, the message isn't about where you're at in that process. But here's the fact. All of us have been there or are there. All of us. God has these major developments, these major things that are happening and going on in our life. Here's another one. Family devotions. As a dad, you know, when my wife and I married and the children started coming, we didn't have family devotions. And it either through preaching or something or another, I don't remember the exact, but it still got in my heart. You need to be sitting down with your wife and your kids every single day of your life and having family devotions. If you're not, if you're a dad in here tonight and you're not doing that, I want to just tell you, it's not your wife's responsibility, it's yours. And you've got to make that. You got to decide. It's almost like jumping off a cliff. I mean, you got to decide you're going to do this. It'll change your life. Reading God's Word every day will change your life. Mm-hmm. Having family devotions every single day will change your family's life. It'll do that. And that's a Kadesh Barnea. But as we look at this and as we get back to the Scripture here, I want you to notice, we'll move down to verse number 26. Here's what the Bible says. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Here we are in a missions conference, another's faith promise. I remember when that happened in my life. First missions conference I ever went to was in 93. And I didn't know anything about faith promise, but God began to speak to my heart. So that's just another example. So, but they wouldn't. They said, no, we're not going. Here's a promised land. You came out of Egypt for this. And here it is. It's inside. It's just across the river. God says, take it. It's yours. They said, no. Let me ask you this. Do you think every Christian that God's ever laid on their heart about reading His Word every day, do you think everyone that's ever heard from God on that is doing it right now? Do you think every person that was ever called to go to China or Sri Lanka or India or England, do you think they're there right now? My point is this. Many are called, but few are chosen, aren't they? What is it that keeps people? Do you get that? Many are called, but few are chosen. Here's what the Calvinists say. Well, I'm not the chosen.
I am.
And by the way, just to help me, I got a little illustration on this line. I need some folks up here to help me with that. So if anybody will be willing to come up here, I mean, walk up here with me and help me with that illustration, I'd love for you too. Anybody willing to do that? Come on up. Anybody willing to help me with that? Come on. Anybody wants to? Come on. Got illustration. They don't have to be men. I mean, children, boys, girls, doesn't matter. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody else? Okay. Chosen. 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 Many were called. Few were chosen. Your chosenness is determined by what you do with the call. You can sit down. God wants everyone to read His Bible every day. The ones who are, they're the chosen. not because he decided only want you to read the Bible every day and not you, but because they decided, I'm going to follow God. Does that make sense? Is every person that's, so you get that, that many are called. By the way, the call to salvation is whosoever will.
Amen.
Let him come.
Yes. Amen.
But does everyone get saved? No. Even in a congregation where the call is heard by every person. So you see that. So here's the message today, and here's what I want us to see from the Bible. I want to see straight out of the Bible, and I want you to see this in the Bible. This message, not my preaching, but the message that I'm going to try to get into your heart, it will change your life. It will absolutely change your life if you get it. Because here's what we're going to see today. What kept them from going over?
Unbelief.
Didn't believe God. Absolutely, that's a truth. But we're going to look in the Bible and answer that question. What kept them specifically, the mechanics, the details from the Scriptures? What kept them? What keeps, there may be someone in here, and you remember when you were 20 or 30, God began to deal with your heart about going to Israel or about going to Pakistan. Why aren't you there? There are pastors that God dealt with their heart about starting a youth camp or starting a Bible college. Why hasn't that happened yet? It's the same answer. We're going to find it in the Bible. Okay, so let's look at it, please. So, first of all, I told you Deuteronomy was a recap. We're going to go back to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and we're going to look at specifically what happened in this situation where they refused to go over into the promised land. So Numbers chapter 13. And look with me, please, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake. So first thing that happens is God speaks. And the Lord spake unto Moses. He spoke to his man Moses, the leader of the people. And here's what he says. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give. So he made it very clear. Look, I'm giving you this land. We saw that in Deuteronomy. Possess the land. It's yours. Possess it. And so he told him two things. Number one, it's your land. And number two, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send men that they may search the land of Canaan unto the children of Israel. So here's what I thought first. When I got to this Kadesh Barnea, I thought, you know what? I know why they didn't go over. Because they had to send spies over and check it out. If they'd have just gone over without knowing what was there, maybe they would have made it. But that's not so. God told them to send spies over. That was God's plan. That was God's will. So going over and checking it out and seeing the dangers and learning that it's the snake bite capital of the world and learning that more people are killed on the roads per mile than any place in the world and learning that there's a war going on and learning that you can be killed by the Muslims or the Buddhists or the Hindus. Learning that isn't what stopped them. Because God wanted them to go and see it. I want you to see the land. And here's what he said. Unto the children of Israel, unto every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one, a ruler among them. So let's skip down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, which is exactly what God told them to do. You with me so far? So far they've missed nothing. They're doing exactly what God said. And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and number one, see the land. God said, see the land. What it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So God told Moses what to do. Moses told the people exactly what to do, and that's the plan. And as we look at this scripture, so far, so good. Check it out. See it. And by the way, there's some scripture for us around along those lines in the book of Luke where God tells us, look, if you're going to build a tower, you need to count the cost. Essentially, that's what he's telling them to do. Check this place out. See what the enemies look like. See what the dangers are. And see what the fruit looks like, et cetera, et cetera. moving forward. So verse 21, so the people did that. They executed the plan. Now check this out. Here's what we're looking for. Where did they go wrong? We're looking for where did they go wrong. So they went up and searched the land. So far, so good. From the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob. So far, so good. As men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel did cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. There's nothing that they did that God didn't tell them to do. He even told them to bring some fruit of the land, didn't he? Everything was exactly what God said. So far, there's nothing specifically in the Bible. Now, generally, we know they didn't do it. They didn't believe God, and they didn't go in there. But specifically, we're looking for what happened that would cause them to do that. Now, look at Numbers chapter 13, and we read verse 21 through 25, where they actually did. But they didn't go. Skip down with me. Go back to Deuteronomy. And verse 26, we read there in chapter 1, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, et cetera, because the Lord hated us, hath he brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us in the hand of Amorites to destroy us. And they said, we're going to die over there. We're not going. Now, here comes the answer. We're in Deuteronomy. Everybody needs to be back there in chapter 1. Just want to read this. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. The plan was executed, and then the people rebelled. That's what we've seen so far. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. The people executed the plan, and then the people rebelled. But there's another part that we see in Deuteronomy that we don't see in Numbers. And that's where we find the key. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 22. So what's happened is God spoke and Moses spoke to the people in 20 and 21. But look at 22. And ye came near me, near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land. So it's like Moses said, I want you to do this. And they came back later and said, you know what? We're going to do it. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to send men before us, and we're going to search out the land. Now, in Numbers, you have no record that the people came back to Moses and said, you know what? We're going to do this. But in Deuteronomy, we see that record. So here's what the people said. Now, look with me. So they came to Moses, and they said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me, Moses is saying, the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. Now, in that verse is the problem. I want to read it again because I want you to see it. And ye came near me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. Good. We're going to do what you told us to do. And they shall search out the land. They shall search us out the land. Good. It's exactly what I told them to do. And bring us word again by what way we must go up. When did God tell them, go over there and come up with a strategic plan as to how you're going to get it done? When did God tell them to do that? Never. Doing what God said to look at it is exactly what they should have done. But you know what else they tried to do? figure out the way to get it done. How many of you would be childless if before having children, you had figured out a way to economically afford another mouth in the house? How many Bible colleges, real ones, would exist today if the pastor first had to figure out the way to hire 20 teachers and to build million-dollar complexes? How many would exist today? How many missionaries would be on the field if first they had to figure out the way and how many supporters and where they're going to go and who's going to support them and how that's going to work and how am I going to do, where am I going to live when I get there and what are we going to do and how are we going to learn the language and what are we going to do? How many missionaries are on the field if they first had to figure out the way to get it done? Now, skip down to verse 26, still in Deuteronomy. Look what happened. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, Moses is saying, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us in the hand of Amorites to destroy us. Look at this. Here's what they said. Whither shall we go up? Which way are we going to go? All they had to do was cross the river and wait for instructions. God never told him to try to figure out which. And the breadth, do you see that there? Do you see how that's a component? As they were murmuring and they were saying, we're not going because how can we figure out the way to get it done? Move forward. Look at verse 31. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee. So Moses is telling him, look, you've seen how God's taken care of you and how he's borne thee as a man doth bear his children. In all the way that you went, every way we went, God was there. Do you see how he's answering that? Look at verse 33. Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way you should go. Brothers and sisters, when God tells you to do something and God works in your heart, let's say something as elementary and as beginning, as kindergarten, as tithing. There's no way to figure it out economically. And God, there's no way. And here's what we do. And this is the end of the message. Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9. The Bible says, a man's heart, Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth. Deviseth means to contrive, to plan, to invent. Man's heart deviseth his way. Man's heart, we got to have a plan. We come up with a plan, but the Lord directeth his steps. God's going to show you the next step. You see, that requires more faith. Step by step requires more faith. Can you see that? Amen. God says, hey, I want you to go to Greece. How can I do that? Well, step one, you need to make a prayer card.
Right.
Amen. You got to have a prayer card. So I don't know how to learn Greek, but I know how to make a prayer card. And if I don't, I can find somebody who can. Step two, you need to start calling some pastors and getting some meetings. All you got to do is say, hey, I'm Brother Stephen. I'm a missionary to Greece. We'd love to come by and tell about the work. You don't have no clue. You don't know where we're going to live. You don't know anything. But step, you're going to have that prayer card. You're going to start reading your Bible every day? You're going to have to get up a little earlier. You get up at 6, get up at 5:30. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Just see that little thing beside your bed or that little phone. It's called an alarm. Just put 5:30 instead of 6. So I'm so sleepy at night. You know what you might have to do? Go to bed a little earlier. 5:30. So I'm going to get up at 5:30. Guess what? 5. That's how. You should make a decision. I'm going to do this. Because God said, and I trust him. And there's Canaan land over there. There's something over there that's big and great and wonderful. And I can't get it unless I step out. See, man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth steps. You know what he's going to give you? The next step. And then one more, just as an exclamation point, Jeremiah 10:23, and this is the last verse that we'll read tonight. Jeremiah 10:23. This is amazing, incredible truth from the Word of God. Nobody's getting offended, are you? Brother Burgess is defended, but I'm a strategic planner. I've had pastors, not this one. He's a former missionary. He knows. What's your 5-year plan, son? How about this? Survival. I'd like to come back alive in 5 years. What's your 10-year plan, son? And I've heard it, and I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I don't see it's at all critical. I love it. I've heard the missionaries have probably said it myself. Yeah, by 10 years, we'd like to have our first 5 churches started. I've heard that. I mean, you know, I've heard it. You have too. You guys have been around. I don't sit there and I don't criticize them for that at all. I'm glad, they got the zeal. I've had that. But look at what did I tell you chapter 10, verse 23?
Yes, sir.
Oh Lord, I know that the way of man's not in himself. He tells us, he says, look, your ways aren't my ways. Even if you could figure out a way, I guarantee you, it'll be wrong. Because my way is different than yours. Because as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, God says. So here's what he says. He says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You can't even figure out the next step. Much less the way.